Bear Podcast, the podcast for Bears and Cubs, episode 242. Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. This is Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, and we have a guest in this episode, in this last episode of the year. It's John from here in Houston. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're broadcasting this live right now on Ustream. You go to ustream.tv/bearpodcast. You'll be able to see our streaming video. And actually, this is our last episode of the year. So, yeah. It's going to be New Year soon, so...
You mean you're not going to try to squeeze one in New Year's Eve?
We're going to do one. Probably we'll do one.
Oh, Lord, yeah. I should get my mouth shut.
No, we're not. We'll probably record something during the parties and stuff like that, but we'll continue the recording, you know, probably on Monday next weekend, some kind of a wrap-up for the year.
Okay.
Yeah. And, this is a special episode. We have John here, and he's actually a power lifter. He's a power lifter here in Houston, and, well, we're featuring him. Here's our Wolf What a Bear feature for this episode. Okay, so, tell us about some history. Were you here originally? You said you're from Michigan, right?
Well, I grew up in northern Michigan and went off to school to Michigan State like everybody else in my family, and my dormitory had more people than my hometown. And promptly found out that that wasn't the place for me.
Okay.
So I wound up going back to a community college in my hometown and then got a wrestling scholarship out at University of North Dakota, of all places, and stayed out there for my bachelor's and my master's, and decided I wanted to get a PhD. Went to the University of Illinois. Wasn't really sure if that was for me.
Wow. And then I went back then.
Okay. I went off to Korea to teach English, and supposed to be for 1 year to see if I'd like that, and wound up staying six.
Mm-hmm.
And came back in 99 to University of Illinois, finished my PhD, and got a job down here in Houston at the end of that, and I've been enjoying the very, very nice weather.
So. You like it warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, although a few weeks ago it's been cold, though. But well...
Relatively speaking,
relatively, for me.
Well, for Houstonians, it's cold.
Oh, yeah. But for me, for a Filipino, it's cold.
For anybody that lives north part of the country, it's like summer weather. So.
And it snowed.
It snowed for days.
And it snowed. Were you here when it snowed?
I was here. I was very impressed. I'd never seen kids go absolutely bananas like that in the snow, but then I realized they might not see that for another 5-6 years.
That's right. Well, I forgot to do snow angels, but maybe next time, 6 years from now, maybe.
Did you eat any yellow snow?
I did make some yellow snow, yes. I tried it in the back, so, okay. Yeah. That's gross. Okay, so tell us about your history on powerlifting. When did you really start?
I got my start in 1985 competitively. Now, powerlifting, a lot of people ask, well, is that where you put the weights over your head like they do in the Olympics? And no, in the Olympics they do the snatch and the clean and jerk, both overhead lifts. And I am neither coordinated enough nor crazy enough to do those lifts. The power lifts consist of the squat, the bench press, and the deadlift. Mm-hmm. Most of the competitions that I do our bench press and deadlift competitions, because with my schedule, I just don't have enough time to train all three lifts.
Yeah.
But I started in 1985. I had been lifting on my own, but it was that year that I finally found a couple of guys to coach me and entered my first competition. I did okay, I thought. And then I realized there was a woman lighter than me at this competition.
Mm-hmm.
Who was squatting more than I was, deadlifting more than I was, but I beat her by 10 pounds in the bench press.
Wow.
So it was kind of a humbling introduction to the sport. And then my second competition was the same year, just a deadlift competition, and I was out deadlifted by a 70-year-old man, and I was 21. So another humbling experience. So I had everything put into perspective for me very, very early. I wasn't one of these guys that showed up and was winning competitions right off the bat. I had to kind of claw my way up the ladder. And in 2003, I won my first world championship. And then seven national championships. And just again, this year I won another world championship in bench press.
Wow. God, it's just overwhelming.
So what's your normal routine to train for this?
The most important aspect of powerlifting training is actually rest and recovery. You can't train it like bodybuilding. For example, if you're training bench press and you train three times a week or even two times a week, especially at my age, 43, my shoulders and elbows are going to be complaining and I'm going to have to take a layoff. So I do one bench press workout a week. I do one deadlift workout a week. And if I'm training squat, one squat workout a week. With younger lifters, they can go twice a week, usually one heavy day, one light day. Wow. But the focus is on technique and learning to use the equipment that we use, the belts, knee wraps, squat suits, deadlift suits, whatever we're wearing for a competition. And then also conditioning. Mm-hmm. My bench press is, if people ask, how much do you bench? And I say, well, you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Yeah. But okay, let's ask. How much do you bench?
At the World Championships in November, I did 700.8 pounds.
Wow.
So
that would be how many nards?
Three.
Oh, three.
Three or four. I think you said you were going to try to make the video available on the website. Just, and it's a terrible video because the handoff guys were a little nervous, and one of them let go too fast. So on the descent, you see the bar tips, and I almost roll right off the bench.
Oh, wow.
Get control of it, but it came up just fine. But part of the conditioning for it is, you know, you handle that kind of weight. It's not just the muscles that have to do the work, but your bones have to be conditioned.
Yeah.
The first time I did a 600-pound bench press, I had this weird sensation when I reversed directions and started pushing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Weird sensation right down both arms. And I realized that was the feeling of my forearm bones flexing.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. So I started taking extra calcium after that.
Oh, I see. Wow.
And I also kind of took a little bit slow every time I'm getting ready for a meet, because you can't maintain the strength to do 700 just on any day. You got to build up to it.
Yeah.
But
you have to warm up for.
You warm up during the workout, but you basically over a period of like 3-4 months, I have to build up to that and recondition myself to do something like that. So I'm very careful about that, because a broken bone is the last thing I want to have when
That's
I got
right.
that much weight in my
That's pretty
hands.
Scary.
I don't want them to have to pull the bar out of my chest.
Mm-hmm. So in your right now, you just arrived. Actually, John here just arrived from the airport. We have to Zoom record after dinner. So where did you go? I mean, this vacation? This is a
for
the holidays?
It's Christmas holiday, so it's sort of a family working vacation, I call it. And
they make you lift stuff. Here, carry this couch over here.
not so much this time, because 2 weeks after the Worlds, I got that bad flu.
Yes, right.
And, and I was sick for about 3 weeks, lost 20 pounds, and then I had an allergic reaction to some of the medication, and they had Benadryl and everything else. Now they got me on some steroid to suppress my allergic response. So my family was pretty good about not making me lift too much this time.
Oh, good.
Except
for them.
They did make me lift a snowblower into the back of a pickup truck. But
you dragged it. No,
I had to lift it.
I see. God.
But I went up to my hometown in Petoskey, Michigan, which is about 275 miles north of Detroit, and a lot colder and snowier. And stayed up there for a few days, ate a lot, got my appetite back, and I'm feeling good.
So what did you Santa give you this year?
Santa gave me a lot of chocolate, lots of food, and some new sweatshirts,
a
couple of books.
Okay, that's like cool.
It was good.
How about you, Ray? What did you get?
What did I get? I got a Blu-ray DVD player, a Blu-ray disc player. a Blu-ray disc player.
Okay.
That also plugs in and does the Netflix movies for you. So.
I see. Oh, Netflix already? Wow. Yeah, so. Netflix, Blu-ray Netflix, or Blu-ray online?
Like online, yeah.
Wow.
Load the movies for you.
Gosh, I got a GPS. Thanks, Mike.
No more yeah, lost nard.
Yeah, because Mike always says that I always get lost. So, yeah, maybe that's the Asian in me. But no, it's not really. But
hey, Mike. On the GPS, can you program into it before he walks out of the house so it tells him when he needs to leave to be there on time?
Directions is different, but the time, the ETA is...
Because the Garmin I had this weekend, it said, okay, you'll arrive here by this time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and on the screen it says, you'll be here by this time. So, like, you know, if it was a two-hour trip and we left at 2 o'clock, it says you'll be here by 4
o'clock. I'm used to the printout. You came, you found this place by yeah, printing
Yahoo
stuff,
Map.
Right? Yahoo Maps. Mike and I just lived our lives using printouts and stuff like that. But now I have a GPS now. And now it now talks. The one I got is really the one that talks now. So I guess I don't know how it works yet. I haven't played around with it.
See, they need to come out with one with attitude, because we were joking about the Garmin this weekend. Because, you know, sometimes it kind of loses where you are. It knows that you're there and it knows that you're not on the right road, but it's showing you kind of off the road.
Uh-huh.
And I kept waiting for mine to say, would you get your dumb ass on the right street, please? You know, something funny like that.
Oh, there's one. A friend of mine has got a
GPS. Wanda Sykes GPS.
He's got Wanda Sykes. He's got emo one. Like, okay, calculating. it's size on you, but I like that. We can use that. Yeah. Mike, we should get one of those. Okay.
Maynard, what are you doing? Maynard, stop!
You turn now. But yeah, that's what I got for Christmas and chairs and some gift cards and computer stuff. So, and it's good.
And some cool Star Trek collectibles.
Oh yeah, that's right. I got it. Okay, it's the geek in Ray and maybe in me too, because he got me a Pez dispenser with the original Star Trek characters. Well. Are they? They're the original Star Trek, yeah. Yes. It's pretty cool. Are you a Trekkie, by the way?
Definitely.
Oh, we have a Trekkie here. Oh, my gosh. Okay, DS9, Voyager, TOS, TNG, which one?
Oh, boy. I like them all. I got into Voyager quite a bit.
There you go. Voyager.
Voyager.
Yes, Voyager.
Especially those last episodes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. Are you a Voyager? Are you more of a Voyager fan?
Yeah, I like Voyager. See, I never got in Deep Space Nine because back when it first came out, they didn't play it consistently on TV where I was back in South Carolina.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, they put like some stupid football game or basketball game. Or
stupid football golf. Game? Golf?
Sorry. Don't give that look.
Mike's a football fan, so.
Me too.
Wow. Oh, yeah, you too. See?
College football.
College football. See, Mike is also college football. Oh, by the way, you're from Michigan, right?
Yep.
And Mike's in Ohio. He's a more of an Ohio guy.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm a Michigan State fan.
Oh, okay.
So is that the Ohio's big rivals is Michigan? No.
No, Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're not very big rivals at the moment, however.
Well, last week we had a couple of parties. We had a party here, and the next day we went to John and Polima's. You weren't there. And it was pretty crowded because lots and lots of people. And that's pretty much how we spent Christmas. You were in San Diego.
Yep.
Okay, he's got a story to tell. Okay, tell us about San Diego.
San Diego was cold.
You flew in Christmas Day.
Flew in Christmas Day. San Diego was cold. Went over to Palm Springs. Palm Springs was even colder. And I was like, what the hell is this? This is California. Where's the sunshine and the warmth? Didn't get any. And then Peter got his wallet stolen.
Oh, big sorry, Peter, there. If you're watching.
So,
poor guy.
Never stay in a hostel again.
You were in a hostel?
We stayed in a hostel.
Oh, my God. I know some stories about hostels.
Ever, ever, ever again.
Wow.
I don't care how broke I am. There's a Motel 8 or 6 somewhere. I'd stay 10 miles out of the city.
So when that happens, you have to get a police report.
You have to get a police report because main thing.
So you're flying. You don't have any identification.
Any ID. So you had to get the police report.
Yeah.
And and we'll do a we can do a podcast about this consumer alert thing type deal. Consumer alert. If you get your license still and you're traveling, this is what you got to go through. Because I went right through security yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Peter showed up about 45 minutes later, walking a little funny. I said, "Did they use Crisco or they did the full body cavity search?"
Oh my god!
So he said, "Well, no, it just took forever because he was having to answer all these questions." Because they actually said there's a they go to a computer and they type in your information, and you have to answer a bunch of questions about yourselves. So oh see, Big Brother is watching.
Oh my gosh! Now he's that's in the air.
So I mean, but he had to go through. I said, "Take about 45 minutes." Luckily, the guy that was doing it to him was kind of cute, so he was okay with that.
Oh, okay.
You know. So
he kind of seduced him a bit. No,
well, I don't know. But
no, not Peter.
Peter said the guy was cute. So, but so that was it. And I got we got a bunch of video and stuff. I'll be putting that together. And it should be out by the first of the year or right after the first of the year.
That's
so.
Right. New Year's.
I'm waiting on Peter to send me all the pictures because it was like every 5 minutes we had to stop the car so he could take pictures.
Yeah, I know Peter. Yes, I stopped too. Mike hates it whenever I take pictures. Yeah. So how about New Year's? What are we planning for New Year's?
I have no idea.
You have no idea? What are you planning for New Year's?
I'll be in Seattle.
Visiting, what? You just came from Michigan. And now,
visiting my better half.
Oh,
and
that's
my biggest
right.
fan.
Your biggest fan?
Well, give him a shout out.
Give him a shout out. What's his name? You can say it.
Die. I don't think you're in Seattle yet, but I hope the weather is better than it looked on the Weather Channel.
Yeah. Well, how long have you been together?
We met back in late 2001, and I first met him in Boston on the 10th of December of 2001. Turned out I was his birthday present.
Oh, were you in a bow or something?
No, but I got off the plane and got to the escalator going down to baggage claim, and there he was with a huge bunch of flowers.
Oh.
He gave me a big hug. And
wow.
And the problem was I was living in Illinois, and he was in Boston. Of course, now I'm in Houston. He's in Seattle. But fortunately for his work, he does public health consulting. He gets mega airline miles, so we can see each other quite a bit.
Well, that's good.
But it's tough sometimes having a long distance relationship because the longer we've been together, I mean, we call up and say, "Oh, I feel so lonely."
Well, Mike and I are the same thing, same way too. We've you know, been you know doing the long distance relationship mm-hmm. also for 6.5 years, right, Mike? Yeah, it's been a long time, and yeah, we're doing
and
well.
And a lot of people don't understand it. They,
yes.
You know, they'll really diss your relationship. They think something's wrong with you.
That's right. A friend of mine was saying it that he couldn't stand not being with his partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just couldn't stand it. But, well, if it works, it works. Right, Mike?
Yeah. And if it's worth it to you, if you really love somebody, you're going to make it work.
Yeah. It's a matter of making it work. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So, Mike, do you think you could live with Maynard full time? You don't have to answer that. I'm just saying.
It's rhetorical. Wow.
The distance makes you appreciate the time you have.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know what? If Mike was here, we'd never see Maynard anymore. All that would stop, I bet. It would slow down drastically.
Yeah.
Maynard wouldn't be on the go all the time.
Yeah, probably. Okay, let's go back to the competition. You do competitions.
Mm-hmm.
You also do judging.
Yeah, judging, and I also run competitions.
Run competitions.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Where do you get judged on?
Well, it depends on the lift, but for each of the lifts, you've got a head judge and two side judges. On the bench press, for example, the side judges are making sure the feet aren't moving, the butt's not coming off the bench, you don't have downward motion of the bar.
Wow.
The head judge is giving the press command, the rack command, and looking for other infractions as well. And then the deadlift is another list of rules you have to
okay.
watch for, make sure the lifters aren't breaking. one of the duties of being a judge, and I'm a world-ranked judge, so at a lot of meets, I'm the one who has to give the rules briefing. And, unfortunately, I'm the one who has to do the drug testing.
Oh, such a rough job.
The drug test. Okay, I got to hear this. All right.
Some organizations have what's called the nipples to knees rule. That is, since you have to observe the specimen cup being filled, the shirt has to be up to the nipples, the pants have to be down to the knees.
Wow.
I'm very out in the sport. My partner goes to major competitions, and people who've been in the organization long enough, they all know about me.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones who know me know it's all business. You know,
yeah.
I'm not there my thrills. I don't like doing drug tests because I know some of them, it makes them very uncomfortable, and quite frankly, some of them I wish I didn't have to watch them fill up the cup. But I've had a few pretty funny situations. One guy he would not pull his pants down to fill the cup, and I kept saying, I said, look, it's all business. We'll get this done. You got yourself a world record, but we got to give you the drug test.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I coaxed him into getting his shorts down. He was getting a hard on.
Nice. All right.
And I had another guy who was, he was kind of hemming and hawing, not wanting to take his shorts down. And I said, well, look, you're the last one I got to test. I just want to get this over with. I'm not used to having somebody like you doing this. I said, you mean like a gay person? I don't like having a gay person looking at me. I said, well,
okay.
I'm looking at the specimen cup, and trust me, you are the last man on the planet I would look at. He got really quiet. He said, well, why? It seemed to break his heart.
Oh, wow.
Always best that straight ego in your...
That's right. You mean you don't want me? Okay. Yeah. But that is
sorry,
awesome.
Straight boys. Every gay man does not want you.
Yeah, but not all gay men want you.
That's for sure.
Okay. So you read. So you don't. You just watch him. You don't have to hold the cup.
No,
he does it for you. I mean, you're just there to watch like that.
Right.
You just watch. Yeah.
Okay. You want to make sure that somebody doesn't have a pouch. Or,
yes, because I've seen that they have even fake penis like thing, and then they would whip it out. But
yeah.
If you do it really. That way, right. But nipples to knees, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then, there's no way to fake it.
No.
Wow.
So plus, we check the temperature.
But,
you just dip a finger.
Yeah. Oh, gross. No.
That's a whole scene in a movie I've seen before, and I can't remember what it is. Well, they do the urine test. And
has a nice wang to it or something like that.
Well, they go and then it ends up that they're messing with each other because one thinks he's a better doctor than the other one. And I think it's a male doctor and a female doctor. And she sticks a finger in and comes out and touches it and said, oh, yes, this. And the other guy does that. And he says, well, how do you – he said, well, I didn't do this and this. But it comes out that she never stuck – the finger she stuck in the glass, she never sticks in her mouth.
Oh.
And the male guy's always sticking the same finger in his mouth.
Oh, gross.
But it was a pretty good skit. I'll have to remember – try to figure out what movie that was in. So.
Well, we have – there's a little sensor on the edge of the cup that we pour it into, and that tells us the temperature. We have to record that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was the difference?
What would be
– I mean – if it's too cold?
If it's too cold, either somebody has a terrible circulation problem or else they've had it in a pouch outside the body.
Because it should be like right at, 98 degrees?
Right in that range, from 96 to 100 in there.
Because even if they've had it on a pouch right outside their body, it's still not going to be, it's 90, it'll be what, 90s? No. So.
Wow, that's strict.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, what gets me is that y'all sound like they're very serious about drug testing, but it seems like they're major professional sports that they drug testing is kind of overlooked and pushed to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all seem very serious about it, which I think is a good thing.
Well, and part of it is because of the reputation
that
powerlifting had through the 70s and into the early 80s. When I was a kid in the 70s and 80s, they used to show the national championships for the U.S. and then the world championships on ABC's Wide World of Sports, until they had a couple of really bad injuries. One of them, and these are the kinds of injuries that are a result of steroid abuse, where one of the problems with side effects with steroids is long-term use. The muscles become very strong very fast, but they get ahead of the connective tissue and the bones, and sometimes the bones actually become more brittle. So there was a lifter back in the early 80s, I can't remember his name now, but he was doing a squat, and his patella tendon snapped. And then another tendon snapped, and another tendon snapped, with the result that his kneecap came flying out through the skin and through the knee wrap like an arrowhead, and he was just writhing in pain on live television.
Sweet. Wow.
That was the last time that they showed a major powerlifting competition on television. And at that point, too, you know, these lifters were huge. They were having episodes of roid rage. It was obvious what was going on. There wasn't drug testing. So in our organization, WABDL, we've been working very hard to tighten up our drug testing and make sure that as much as possible that it's a clean sport and fair competition.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I've read actually one of the listeners, or a friend of mine, mentioned about a specific accident. I think it's a deadlift or powerlifting, and a major accident on the buttock area.
It blew his butt right.
Was like a prolapse.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
I've seen the picture, and I can tell you that
it's photoshopped.
No, it's a real picture.
Oh my god! Okay,
it's a real picture, but it's not a powerlifter.
It's not okay.
It's not.
He was a dancer.
My partner explained the condition because he has a medical degree, but it's the person with that condition can actually push his prolapse out at will. But if you look at his legs, he's got really skinny legs.
Okay,
he's got no butt, really. Well, he's got a big butthole hanging out, but
yeah.
No butt. So he doesn't work out. He's wearing an old wrestling singlet, which we wouldn't use for squatting. Okay. And there's a whole big hole cut in it that makes it look like it just exploded and blew the seat of the pants out. Plus, he's wearing dress shoes and dress socks. You don't wear that in a competition.
No.
So this guy had this condition, and they set it up like he was squatting and blew his butthole out. But that's not a real.
So it's not real. Oh.
Now, there is what we call in powerlifting the walk of shame.
Oh.
That is, depending on the looseness of stool and things like this in the bowel. God.
Okay.
Someone's doing a heavy squat or a heavy deadlift, they may reach that point where they have to make a decision. Are they going to complete the lift and make a mess?
Uh-huh.
Or are they going to preserve their dignity and you know, give up on the lift and
that happens. Yeah. Oh my god!
And so, you know, most really serious lifters, if you're going for that big lift, you don't care. So the walk of shame. You'll notice after they put the bar down, they very gingerly head off towards the locker room
with a weird walk. Or
yes.
Somewhere.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I would think, shouldn't they have some kind of preparation? You know, not only during sex that people do preparations, but, you know, powerlifting also, right?
This has been overlooked in the sport, and I think primarily because of there's insight that gay men have in this area that straight
men just
don't have.
Learn from the gay guys. Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, I'm very careful about what I eat the day and the night before a competition. And if I have any doubts, I'll take an Imodium in the morning when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want
to. You have to know your body, pretty much.
Because I don't want any distractions when I'm up there. Whether it's something like gas or burping or whatever, you don't want any distractions at all.
Gas.
And you know, they got the video going and all that stuff, and
it's documented.
Just your luck. Mm-hmm. If it's gas, you're going to be up there, and it's a strangely quiet moment during the competition, and everybody's going to hear it. So, I think experienced lifters, well, the experienced lifters who care, they pay attention to their bodies and make sure they know what's in them and how their body's going to respond.
That's right.
So they're power lifters, not power bottoms, so they don't understand about the whole clean out thing.
They're not necessarily power bottoms.
That's right.
Wow. So what's your next event, competition?
My
or
next
any
event was going future? To be the national championships in April, where I was hoping to go for the world record deadlift in my weight class. The weight class I'm lifting in now is the 308s. I lift in super heavyweights, 308s, and I've sometimes lifted in the 275 weight class. The world record right now is 755, so I'd have to chip it. That's just put the little tiny weights in the end to make it 756.
Okay.
But with this flu, it's probably going to push my training back a few months. So maybe not till August or at the World Championships in October. It'd be more fun at the Worlds, I think, because you're out there against, you know, there's 500-600 other lifters from around the world. And if you want to set a world record, that's the place to do it.
How about the strongman competition? Have you ever considered that before?
I haven't because I think I'm a little bit too short for some of the events.
Well, there are some short.
There are. Pujanowski.
Yeah, Pujanowski.
He's actually a hair taller than me. But leverage-wise, for a lot of the events, that would be a problem. Like the one where they get inside the car with the straps.
Yeah,
I
that's
the
right.
Wheels bouncing off the... I'm barely 5'10".
Okay.
But the major problem is because of wrestling and then training back in the 80s and early 90s, and we didn't know the difference between a rotator cuff and a blood pressure cuff, I've got terrible shoulders. And I've had to rehab them several times. At one point, I couldn't get 135 pounds off my chest without pain in the shoulders. And I've had my AC joint separated on both sides. My shoulders are a little bit fragile, but I figured out how to rehab them, and then a continuous rehab program I call prehab, so that I can bench competitively. But I think if I start doing those overhead lifts, picking up logs and throwing beer kegs, there goes my shoulders. So I'll stick to what I know I can do without hurting myself, because at 43, it's going to take a while to bounce back from another major shoulder injury.
Okay.
And part of the problem is it's called weightlifter's shoulder, where the end of the clavicle literally gets worn down. Mm-hmm. And mine on this side is almost an inch too short, which stretches out the AC joint, which makes the whole shoulder vulnerable to injury.
Wow. God, it's going to be a lot of training. Yeah. How many years again did you do this? Have you been training?
I've been competing since 1985. I started weight training for wrestling back in 1980.
Is there any hope for me if I try to be a weightlifter, a power lifter?
There's hope for everyone.
There's hope for everyone. Yeah.
The key to success is called stick-to-itiveness. You get on a program, you stay with the program, and you be patient. And over the long term, you see really big results.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's interested in finding out how to... do this, where do they go to? Is there a website that they can go to?
There's a lot of different websites, some very good ones out there. I'll put in a plug for my website.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
www.hudsonpowerteam.org. I have a couple of articles there that I get emails occasionally from people as far away as France and Asia.
Ah.
They've read my articles on bench pressing and deadlifting. And these are programs that I've written for just regular guys, not people who are, you know, gifted to be powerlifters. I don't think I was ever gifted to be a powerlifter. I just stuck with it so long that my body started to respond. That's a good place to start for a couple of training programs, and just do some searches on Google. There's tons of discussion boards out there where a popular thing to do now. For both bodybuilders and powerlifters, is to keep a training log on a website where other lifters at about the same level or sometimes more advanced give comments and feedback.
True power twittering.
Power twittering.
Yeah.
That's all I do. I search something else in Google, though. Other things. But
like bear porn?
Bear porn. No, I don't.
Hey, Mike, is there anybody online? We got a few people there. They got any questions?
Any questions
like
from our listeners?
Well, no. But do they have any questions? Any of you guys online have questions? Any people we got online? Anybody got questions for John or Maynard or me?
Yeah.
They only have suggestions for Maynard.
Oh, really? What did he say? Okay. sure. What did he say?
Excalibur says, stop feeling yourself up.
Oh, okay. I'm trying not to feel myself too much. Okay. All right.
I touch myself.
Okay.
I coached a kid who was just massive, just built like a brick you know what.
Uh-huh.
And he was always feeling himself.
Oh, really?
He'd be talking to you, and he'd squeeze his bicep, and he'd squeeze his pec. And one time I reached out and grabbed his wrist. I said, stop.
Stop. What? What?
Don't grab your pec. I'm not grabbing. Oh. Oh. Why are you doing that? Well, I just want to make sure it didn't get too small. He had this body dysmorphia.
But thing. He said, no, don't touch your pec. Touch my pec. Touch my pec here.
Or touch your pec this way.
Okay, I have a story about that. I was in IBR 2006, and I was talking to someone. I'm not going to say the name, but he used to be on the podcast, but I was talking to him, and I said, hey, what are you doing today? Are you busy later? We can record a show or something like that. Oh, sure. And then he was, oh, later I'll be busy. I'll be going out. He was flexing his body. He's flexing his muscles while I'm talking to him. I don't know why, but I was just giggling inside me. He was flexing his body, and then he's flexing his muscles. And yeah, I will see you later. We're gonna eat a dim sum right now, and I'll see you later. Okay, bye bye. Okay, bye bye.
And then, probably because you had the camera going.
No, I didn't have a camera even back then.
What?
No, well, I did, but
I was fixing to say.
I always have a camera.
An Asian without a camera.
And I have a backup camera.
It's like a
too.
Cowboy without a horse.
Wow. Well, we've got a question here. Oh, question. Okay. There's a question. Okay.
What is the ideal distribution or weight strength proportion so to ensure maximum workout efficiency?
Well, that's. I don't believe there is an ideal because that would everybody's going to vary quite a lot because. The strength distribution that a person would have over their body, for example, is very different from him or you or you or me. We're all built differently. Okay. For example,
weight distribution.
One of my best lifts is deadlift. I've done 727 in the deadlift. And I beat a lot of guys who are bigger and more massive than me. Partly it's simply leverage. I got slightly longer arms than they do. I've got a slightly longer back than they do, and I can get a better starting position relative to my legs. So it's not just a strength issue, but it's a leverage issue as
physiology
well.
Mm-hmm. Of the body. Yeah.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and a great deal of powerlifting, especially when I'm coaching newer lifters, is trying to see where their leverage points are, their strengths and weaknesses, and try to build on those strengths and give them the technique on each of the lifts that's going to allow them to use that leverage that they have, mm-hmm. and then come up with ways to work around their leverage weaknesses in some of the other lifts. Because you rarely have anybody who's got good leverage for all three. Mm-hmm. If you're lucky, you're balanced enough so you can do all three lifts well. I've considered myself very lucky because deadlifters usually can't bench very well.
They have their specialties, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But in my case, I've worked very, very hard on technique in the bench, and with my 727 deadlift and 700 bench, I became the second person in the organization to ever do a double 700, wow. Which is very rare because usually the benchers are good benchers, lousy deadlifters. The good deadlifters are lousy benchers. So,
okay. But depends on the specialty then, all right?
Yeah, you can try to, work the technique and kind of take advantage of your leverage points, but it takes a while to mm-hmm. figure that out. So there's no ideal strength distribution that would apply to everybody. Everybody's a little bit different.
Okay. Do you meet a lot of straight people?
There's so many straight people and so many Republicans.
Oh, really?
I sort of lost it during the election because... some of the powerlifters sometimes assume everybody in the sport is a Republican.
Really?
So they sent out a lot of this anti-Obama, just nasty trash. If something was meant to be funny and good-natured, fine. But some of it was, you've seen some of the stuff about he's a terrorist, he's an Arab.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I started posting stuff in my training log on my website. And if you look at the archive website from the election period, you'll see some things like Palin and McCain, rich people know what's best for you, stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
And they just threw a fit about this. How could you put these hate posters up and all this? It's They can dish it out, but they can't take it very well.
Uh-huh.
But the thing I'll say for most powerlifters, though, is especially the ones who've been in the sport a while, they judge you by what they see you do. So yeah. A lot of them have told me that they were uncomfortable with me at first. They didn't understand how this gay guy was coming in and winning all these competitions. Mm-hmm. But that I've getting to know me and see me lift, they see I don't have horns and a tail and that I'm a good person. Yeah.
And you don't, like, gang bang them in the locker room or anything.
Right,
like that.
Right. I avoid that.
sometimes. I'm kidding, though.
I did get some coverage in this website. I don't know if you heard of, called Real Jock.
Oh, okay.
And the first line of this is when I, back in 2006, when I had done a 677 bench press and then said I had briefly held the world record at super heavyweight and deadlift. But the first sentence of this article was, John Hudson is not the limp-wristed pansy of anti-gay stereotype, which is really funny. But some of my limp-wristed pansy friends were very offended by that.
Uh-huh.
So,
limp-wristed. Stop! Ow! Broken nail! Okay. Wow, so it really feels good, I guess, to, you know, actually to be in a competition with a lot of these straight people also. Yeah. Are there a lot of gay
there are among the women I know there's quite a few. My, you know, I have to turn my gaydar unit off sometimes. There are very few men who are out. There was a guy in Los Angeles who contacted me. Who's actually a training partner, a very high-profile lifter out there, who was going to be at the World Championships, but somebody stole his car, so he couldn't come. But I was all excited.
What a bummer.
Because, wow, I get to meet an out gay person in the sport. Uh-huh. There's just very few. One of the others is Chris Morgan from Great Britain, and I think, I don't know if he had an injury or something, but he had to leave the sport. He was one of the gay games ambassadors or something like that. I didn't actually lift at the gay games even when it was in Chicago, partly because had I done that, it would have interfered with my training for the national championships, and I was trying to defend my national title. And my feeling was if I compete against the straight guys at the national championships, being out, that's going to do more good than going to the gay games. And you know, they said, well, you can do the first gay 600 bench press. I said, I've already done that.
Mm-hmm.
I made the decision it's going to do more good to compete against everybody instead of going to the games. And I kind of miss having had the chance to do it, but I think it was the right decision. But after that, Out Sports and Real Jock wouldn't write any more articles about it.
No me, more? So. Well, we have this podcast, so.
That's right.
So I pissed a few people off.
Well, there we go. We'll get Jeffrey to give him Bear's Life.
So, oh, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll try. So we have some writers that, a writer that we know can probably.
A Asian writer that writes for Bear Magazine.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Imagine so we'll see. That, yeah.
I know.
Well, anyway, so what time is it? We're running out of time. Right. And, wow, this is overwhelming, really. It's the first time we had a gay power lifter in the show, and it's awesome that we could hear these stories. And, so, guys, check out HudsonPowerTeam.org.
Yes.
That's the website. You can check out John's training log, his pictures, his videos, stuff like that. And we'll probably attach some videos into this, to this video also. Okay, so, actually, guys, this is the last episode of the year, like I said earlier. What is this? Episode 242, I think. That's right. I can't remember. But, thank you for a good year for supporting Bear Podcast, everyone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Keep downloading.
Spread
the word.
Spread the word. Tell your friends. And vote for us at thecompletebear.com. We are in the best podcast category on the Best of the Bears 2008, held by The Complete Bear. And send your entries to info@thecompletebear.com. And more info will be on the website. And that's it. thank you very much. Thank you very much, John.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's fun.
Yes, awesome.
Especially from a flight in and then swinging by.
He flew in, just psh, and then landed here. Yeah.
We need to thank Mike for a great dinner. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike, for a great dinner. Oh, we need a drink. We forgot the drink. Yeah, we're getting a drink.
What
drink? Oh, the our New Year's. Well, because this is it's almost New Year, so someone's calling. That's your phone. We'll take a break. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay. So you have to keep talking.
That's okay.
What are they saying? Anybody saying anything? Anybody saying anything online?
Anybody saying anything? We're taking a break. We need a drink.
I purposefully didn't read the last
comment. Why? What does it say?
The good word guide I will keep downloading in my cart. In my pants.
In my pants.
That's what I was talking about. Excalibur Bear.
Oh, Excalibur. Right. Oh, it's a...
I remember. The muscle bear can take his shirt off.
Are you allowed to do that?
Oh, I promised Di I wouldn't do anything like that.
Oh, okay.
I can bounce my pecs.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Oh, my God. But wait, I can't. Zoom in here. Zoom in. We got we got to zoom in here.
Is he
lift it. Put it down. Down. Oh, no.
Is he zooming?
Yeah.
That's the extent of what I can do.
He's a married man, folks.
Okay, show it.
And I'd hate for his partner to show up at Maynard's door ready to beat him up after a while in a couple of days when this goes out.
Okay.
But I do have some candid shirtless pics from training and competitions that I'm going to be posting on the website.
All right.
I'll see. There you go. Hit the website.
Get his website. All right.
And don't forget to hit Bear Podcast's website.
Yeah. Yes.
And you wouldn't want to see me without a shirt right now because after the flu, my weight's down to about 290 and I'm usually about 310. So that extra 20 pounds kind of fills me out a little nicer.
Okay. I'm waiting for a drink. Hold on, guys. Hold on.
See, if I get into powerlifting, maybe I can balance it all out. Or maybe if I just quit eating and work out, maybe.
You know, you talked about rest. Mm-hmm. I think that's I'm very good at.
Mm-hmm.
Rest. That's all I do. Just rest. All right. Thank you.
And Julio's our cameraman tonight.
Yeah, Julio's our producer. Okay. What do we say? I don't know. Okay, we're back. And we have a toast for
2008,
Mike.
And here's to 2009.
Happy
New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, everyone. It's pretty good.
Give the damn agent his booze.
What booze? Okay. Oh, okay. Thanks, Roy.
Roy.
All right. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you guys don't blow off your hands if you're lighting up firecrackers or whatever. And, yeah, be safe. Have a good year. Okay, so if you have any comments, send your emails to nard@bearpodcast.com.
Or ray@bearpodcast.com.
Yes, and visit the website at www.bearpodcast.com or you can call the voicemail line at
206-222-2327.
That's 206-222-BEAR. Yeah. We leave your voice comments and we'll play it in the show.
That little iPod, that iPhone thing.
The iPhone, what iPhone thing?
Go to www.bearpodcast.com/iPod.
iPhone. That iPhone thing. If you have an iPhone, go to bearpodcast.com/iPhone and go to myspace.com/bearpodcast for, friend us there. Yeah. And thank you for listening and watching. And Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Many moves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.